I'm Ebony K. Williams, your attorney at law and host. Welcome to Holding Court, where we analyze the very latest legal headlines everybody's already talking about. We dig into how the courts impact the culture. We break it all down for you, and we go straight from gavel to your news feed. And I promise you this, y'all, every single week, we're going to keep it a buck, keep it 100. Right, Dustin Ross?
That's right, Ebony. Let's go ahead and hold court.
Let's do it. Dustin Ross, my darling, how was your weekend? I will tell you about mine, but I want you to go first.
You know what, E? I had a good weekend, good vibes, lots and lots of visitors. There were a couple big events that took place in New York this weekend, so I was not at them, but there are lots of people in town for those events. So I got to see a lot of old friends this weekend and rekindle, so it was good.
So let me ask you, somebody peeped me to this game a couple years ago for people like yourself who are extremely popular and people want to see. This person told me what you do instead of trying to rip and run everywhere and see everybody, you just post up and you pretty much hold off social office hours.
That's
and you
exactly
just tell
what you
people,
do.
Is that what you do?
That's exactly what you do.
Okay.
You just pick a spot. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, this weekend we started at Renaissance, beautiful black-owned restaurant up in Harlem.
That's my boy. You know, they the same owners as Ponte Bistro.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, so Dustin, now, okay, I was sick this weekend, which I just told you about offline, but y'all, Auntie E's eye was sealed shut with the allergies. It was a bad situation. The bitch was out here looking like Popeye. But, you know, I'm down the street from there. I'm very sad I missed you uptown.
Yes. Okay. Don't even trip because we got all summer long.
Yeah, we
are just getting started, E.
So you were at Renaissance. I love Renaissance.
Yeah, we camped out at Renaissance and just started there, and everybody kind of flowed through and then just kind of went from there. So that is definitely a good strategy to enact. If you got to see a bunch of motherfuckers. So, yeah, that's it.
Yep, I'm going to be here from the hours of 3
pull
to 7:30. Pull
up. Saying? Pull
yeah.
up.
Yeah. I love it.
How was your weekend, E, besides, you know, not
besides
feeling the best?
Besides that, I just got some rest. I really did. I was able to watch all of my, you know, ridiculous television shows that I love, including Married at First Sight. I'm a day one stan of Married at First Sight.
Okay. Because it's a lot of new people on the dish.
It's a lot of bandwagoners. Mm-hmm, you know, I'm day one when it was just three couples and all the vibe. And they didn't know each other.
Okay.
You know, so I'm day one, episode one, season one.
Okay.
So I caught up on that. I'm very excited for some of these couples. Very sad for some others because you can just tell they're not going to make it.
Damn. but
the
writing is on the wall.
On the wall, honey. Not like Michael said, off the wall. It's on the wall.
It's on that motherfucker. Okay.
But so that was enjoyable. And, you know, just getting ready for this week because it's going to be a good week. I can feel it.
That's right.
So I did, though, get to peruse the social media of it all as I was laying on my couch taking my Benadryl and various medications. I want your take on this because it seemed so random that the baby went on this, ridiculous is not a strong enough word. I'm going to say dangerous, irresponsible, homophobic rant that included reigniting and just amplifying the most dangerous of stigma around HIV and AIDS, because he sound dumb as hell talking about like it's a gay disease. Actually, the fastest growing sector of infected people by HIV and AIDS are actually Black women, heterosexual Black women. So you sound and are dumb.
And are at risk as well because you fuck a lot of those.
Lot of them.
But anyway,
and unprotected, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed so unprompted. Do you have any thoughts, Dustin, as to why this man would just seemingly randomly go there? And I read him really, you know, obviously he's being canceled as well. He should be dropped from everything from Governor's Ball to something else. Every festival that he was slated to do this summer is done. It's a no. Every act, every business he's been aligned with is done. Closing those ranks. Somebody said, the baby gonna fuck around and end up on the Millennium Tour. That's what somebody said on the Instagram. And that's accurate. And that's what exactly I don't even know if they'll fuck with him, to be honest.
He needs to be in the Universe Soul Circus because he's a clown. And that's who he needs to tour with. Now there's a few things here that we can, I guess,
unpack.
Take note of. Yeah, unpack. Mm-hmm. You know, the baby is country. The baby is
shout out to Charlotte.
Less than educated. The baby is rich and the baby is famous. And that is often a toxic combination because people who are not prepared to have access to such a large platform now have it. Mm-hmm. And we end up making mistakes like this. As far as the quote unquote cancellation of the baby, he's a liability to companies. Mm-hmm. When you're a loose cannon like that and you don't know, you're unpredictable and no one can really trust you to be responsible with the usage of their space, you get quote unquote canceled. So this is not really even a gay thing that he's being canceled on. It's because he's so reckless. Right. As far as the things that he actually said, they were really specific and seemed like a direct shot towards someone to me. So I don't know if he walked past a car and heard one of his songs and looked over and seen somebody getting their dick sucked in the parking lot. I don't know if he got his dick sucked in the parking lot. I don't know if he sucked a dick in the parking lot and it was stinking. Something happened relative to him and dicks being sucked that pissed him off. And so he went there on stage. It was stupid. It was rooted in homophobia at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. We could go take a deep dive, but if we keep this thing really top level, it's because he is less than educated and he is a person who hates gay people and gay stuff for whatever his personal reasons are. Okay. And what happens is you end up saying and spewing hatred like that. And now you have to deal with it. You then fucked around and found out. And that's why we are where we are. And I just think it's funny because he said what he said about people who are afflicted with HIV and AIDS. And he said what he said about people who have oral sex in parking lots. But what if we said things to him that would trigger him and make him upset and, you know, make people catch stray bullets? Like, what if I said, well, the baby, guess what? Your daughter is ugly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that he loved them little kids that he loves. What if I told him that? And then she's caught a stray bullet unnecessarily, you know, she's been harmed, you know, verbally unnecessarily.
Collateral that don't feel damage.
Good. Yeah, it doesn't feel good. So just smarten up, which I know is a high climb for him. So smarten up and just figure it out, because this is a lesson that you needed to learn. And I hope that you learned it. And that's all I got to say.
Well, that's plenty. And I want to take this moment to share a personal story about homophobia.
Okay.
And the consequences. It's not just the bag that you risk losing when you show up in the space. And we happen to be talking about homophobia in this particular conversation. We could be talking about anti-Black sentiment. We could be talking about Islamic phobia. We could be talking about anti-Semitism. Any ignorant fucking shit, right, that shows up in this day and age is it just tells me more about you than the issue that you're so-called having a problem with. That's all I'm going to say on that.
Correct. Correct.
So I was on a date recently because, you know, Auntie E is in these streets trying to find a husband.
Yes. Okay?
Or rather a husband. I'm trying to put myself in position for a husband to find me.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm outside. I was on a date recently. Extremely attractive man. Grown man. This man was about 50, 51. Very attractive, very successful professional. Won't say his profession, but high level educated professional man.
Got it.
I don't do.
We don't play.
I don't really do anything else. Okay. All right. My Benadryl is kicking in. So on this date with this man, having a gorgeous time, wonderful time, talking about all the things, getting to know. First date.
Okay.
For context. And we happen to be seated outside of a very high-end restaurant.
Okay.
And in the somehow unprompted, Dustin, as we were discussing, you know, academia, we were discussing social justice, we were discussing, shall I say it? Yeah, well, Greek life.
Okay.
Happen to be in a fraternity. We're talking about my sorority. Where it's all a vibe. It was a vibe, and I actually was at this point in the date. Intrigued, curious, definitely. Yeah, I wasn't like, ooh, pressed, but I was definitely like, okay, this could be interesting.
Yeah.
And then a couple of gentlemen walked out of the restaurant. So they're walking past us because we're outside on the patio. And they, you know, probably, if one could guess, were part of the LGBTQ plus community.
Okay.
And for some reason, Dustin Ross, my date felt the need to comment on these young men and their attire.
Okay.
I mean, damn, bruh. Shorts got to be that tight, yo. Damn, bruh. Shorts got to be that little. Damn, like, I get it, you gay, but damn, like, you doing a lot. You fucking up my experience. Damn. I was at an event the other week, and, you know, a dude, you know, fucking was rocking a goatee and stilettos. And I was like, yo, son, pick one. You fucking up my vibe. All of that.
Yeah. And you're just looking at him in his face and like, while he's saying these things, like, damn, bro, watching the boat just sink.
Listen,
man.
And it just triggered a few things for me, Dustin. I had been in a relationship for almost 4 years. So it's been a minute since I've been in the streets in this capacity. Mm-hmm. But the fact that somebody in any age, but especially in this age today, 2021, found it appropriate to open your motherfucking mouth and speak all of this homophobic sentiment. You giving all this homophobic energy out here on a first date with a woman you don't know anything about. Yep. You don't know. Hell, I could be a part of the LGBTQ plus community for all you know. At certainly that point, loved ones. And even if it's not about, because I don't even really love that argument, Dustin, that like I have to know someone to care about the community. I could know nobody.
I have LGBT. Black friends.
Right. Yeah. Well, I have a daughter now, so women aren't bitches anymore.
Right. Well, you know what, E? Listen, that is much more common and prevalent than people like to think or acknowledge. I personally expect that out of motherfuckers, to be honest with you. I expect that. So I'm prepared for that. And it's just as simple as it's a very, again, top level insult, if you want to call it that. It's lazy. It's less than sophisticated. And I actually look forward to those moments so that I can really introduce myself properly to people. Okay. In that space. So
I caught all that.
It's all good, baby. It's all good.
It was just so whack to me because now
be glad though, E, because you got it up front. You saved yourself much time.
Listen, you know what the good Maya Angelou says? People will tell you exactly who they are and you have to believe them. So this man told me he was a homophobe, which means to me that you are probably also holding of other value systems that I cannot fuck with.
Bingo.
So you're not the man for me. But I just did find it a bit surprising that someone was willing to reveal that much of their ignorance on a first date.
Just blatant, like blatant, brazen.
Comfortable.
Yeah, I'm dumb. Hey, just letting you know up front. Like, I can't believe it, man. But, oh, well.
Yeah, it was whack. So it'll cost you a bag. It'll cost you a second date with EKW. I'm here to tell you. Don't be out on no date with me. Mm-hmm. Y'all on notice, talking no kind of reckless shit. I'm not into it.
That's right, because your gay friends will beat his ass.
Listen.
So let's just move on.
And my straight ones too, because we don't fuck with that.
That's right.
Fuck out of here with that. All right. Speaking of getting the fuck out of here, let's go straight to the docket. Tory Lanez making headlines. It is suspected that he might have indeed violated a protective order that Megan Thee Stallion has against him. That protective order, we reported on it here on Holding Court earlier. If y'all don't remember, Tory Lanez is being accused of shooting Megan in her one foot twice, I believe is the allegation, right? And there's an upcoming court date around that. So in the meantime, though, as they should have, Los Angeles County has granted Megan a protective order just to keep her safe while everyone awaits trial. So a part of that protective order, D, is that Tory Lanez is to always, at all times, remain at least 100 yards away from Megan physically. And that is per the protective order. Yes. Just so happens, here come this dumbass again, DaBaby, then brought Tory Lanez out during this this freaking festival. What is this? Rolling Loud?
Yes.
What's the shit called? Yeah, mm-hmm. Rolling Loud. The same place where DaBaby ignorantly was talking shit, being homophobic and ignorant in other ways. He also brought out Tory Lanez to perform. The issue was the timing. This performance where Tory Lanez was on stage with DaBaby happened less than an hour after Meg Thee Stallion set at Rolling Loud, which means it's been reported that by TMZ specifically, that Meg Thee Stallion was still backstage, thus in proximity, right? Speculatively, yes, within the 100 yards that he is supposed to be away from her. That's the issue.
Okay.
So what's happening? Apparently, this really went there. Miami Police Department was contacted around the possible violation of the protective order. And the protective order travels. So I want to be clear here because, you know, this is, yes, it's about Meg Thee Stallion and Tory Lanez, but it's about everybody that's listening. It's about all of us jurors. Okay. Here's the thing. When you have a protective order and make sure you ask for this if you're going to court on your own or someone else's behalf. Make sure that that protective order governs the protective distance, no matter where you are, no matter what city, what state, what country. That was the kind that Meg had. So therefore, whether they're in Los Angeles, Miami-Dade, Fort Worth, Mecklenburg County, it don't matter.
Keep your ass from around me.
Keep your ass from around me. And while DaBaby brought him on stage, this is on Tory Lanez. Okay, DaBaby got a lot of shit that he need to handle, but one of them is not where Tory Lanez is or isn't allowed to be. That's on Tory and his team. So your ass know that you have a protective order that requires you to legally stay 100 plus feet away from Megan Thee Stallion at all times, no matter where you are. Why the fuck are you bringing your ass even within any level of proximity physically to this woman? Pre-trial.
Yeah.
Unacceptable.
Dumb. Less than smart, which is less a recurring theme for the day, it seems.
Yeah, listen, this is starting off on that type of foot, Dustin. So I just want to put out there that when there's a violation, what can happen to you? Because people need to know this, Dustin. Number one, you could be brought in to court. You can be held in contempt for violating that protective order. I've seen people that have violated a protective order just one time and be detained because the judge could say, oh, you act like you don't want to abide by my instruction. I'll make you abide. So yeah, don't be out here violating protective orders. It's not fucking cute. As it relates to Tory Lanez, I do believe some level of investigation is ongoing as it relates to Rolling Loud and what happened in Miami. It's not going to be favorable for him. I can tell you that.
Well, it shouldn't. And here's why. That was an intentional slight at Megan on behalf of both DaBaby and Tory Lanez. And that once again, they done fucked around and found out playing too much, not taking things seriously that they should. And also being petty and going back and forth with her. Mm-hmm. What are y'all doing? Y'all rappers. You know what I'm saying? Why are y'all even this deeply embroiled in a quote unquote beef with Megan the fucking Stallion? This shit is dumb. So you get what you deserve. Like, all of this shit, the attention is getting, that's not good.
Not good.
The fact that this is right added to the pile that is already on top of the baby's head. You know, it's just dumb on both their parts. So that's what they both get. Throw the book at their ass. I don't give a fuck no more.
No, they're terrible. And what I appreciate that Megan, you know, it took her a minute, as we reported at early episodes of Holding Court. Megan had her reasons, but it took her a minute to even speak on the assault that she alleges happened to her, that she was shot and who shot her. But now that she has finally kind of broken the seal, Megan is not fucking around. She's saying at every corner, stop playing with me. She put out this tweet, and this was really, like, she said a lot in this tweet, Dustin. She says, support me in private and publicly do something different. These industry men are very strange. This situation ain't no damn beef. She put that in quotes. And I really wish people would stop downplaying it like it's some internet shit for likes and retweets. You know what? And she's right. This is not a beef. This is not Etha fucking Nas Jay-Z. This is not that. This woman is alleging, if she is to be believed, and personally, it's a lot of corroborating evidence. I tend to believe her at this point, that she was fucking shot. Okay, that's not a beef. That's not lyrical. That's a physical assault with legal consequences. Stop playing with her.
Yeah, and she really can't afford to be careless with this situation. She's at the top of her game in her career. Just winning those three Grammys, one of which was for Best New Artist, which is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to even be nominated for that award. So she's got bigger fish to fry.
Best rapper of the year.
Yeah,
all that shit. On the cover of Sports Illustrated. Come on,
yes, now. Like, she is literally excelling right now. Yes. So she does not need to be attached to this messy ghetto bullshit.
No, and that's hella traumatizing. Whatever went down between her and Tory Lanez, the courts will make some determination of that. At best, it is traumatizing for her to be in proximity to him.
That's right.
Stay your fucking ass away from me. Ew.
That's right.
Stupid ass. All right, moving on real quick. Now, Kelly Clarkson is not of the culture, so you might be wondering why we're about to talk about her on Holding Court. Well, I found it very interesting, and I saw you were tweeting about it too, Dustin, because oftentimes when we start talking about money and marriage and spousal support and paying people out the bag in the midst of the divorce, it is always men paying out women. And the narrative is, we know, long ass, stale ass narrative, that marriage is bad for men because men always get the losing end of the stick, so to speak. Of course, we were just talking about Dr. Dre having to cash out his estranged wife, Nicole, at the tune of $300K a month. Okay. And a lot of people feel a way about that. Well, you know, we like to keep things, you know, nice and balanced here on Holding Court.
Yes, we do.
So I had to come give y'all a little tea about Kelly Clarkson paying out a full fucking bag to her ex-husband, or estranged husband, rather, who she was married to, by the way, far less time. So I want to do a quick comparison, if you'll indulge me, Dustin Ross, of Dr. Dre and Kelly Clarkson.
Okay.
Okay. Dr. Dre is paying out his estranged wife $300,000 a month. Kelly Clarkson is paying out her estranged husband $200,000 a month. Hers is for both spousal and child support. So I want to separate that. Okay. Mm. This is interesting though. Of the $200,000, $150,000 is for spousal support, and only $45,000 is for child support. I was surprised by that as a lawyer.
Okay.
Because I was expecting the inverse. I was thinking it'd be $150,000 for the kids, because if they have two children, and that he maybe only get $50,000. The fact that the very 75% of this payment is for him.
Yeah.
Interesting. Keep in mind with Dr. Dre, all of that is spousal because his kids are grown with Nicole. Cool. Got it. Also, Kelly's actually getting a more fucked up deal here than Dre. Here's why. Number one, she was married to her estranged husband far less time. They were only married 7 years. Dre was married to Nicole over 20. I think it was
23 or something.
23, like 24 years. So that's a big determination when the court is assessing what spousal support in particular looks like. They very much consider the length of time, the duration of the marriage. 7 years is a long time, but not that long of a time. Shit. You know, for him to be getting $150,000 a month. Yeah. Also, Kelly Clarkson is very wealthy. She's nowhere near as wealthy as fucking Dre. Mm-hmm. So when you look at the proportionality of Dre paying $300,000 a month and he being worth an estimated billion, and Kelly Clarkson being worth a lot, but not a billion, her paying $200,000 a month is disproportionately high. So she's actually paying much more than Dre's paying his ex-wife. So I just want people to keep that in mind. So next time we report on said gentleman who's having to pay out his estranged spouse around spousal support, just know it's not just men that get hit over the head. Anybody who is the higher earning primary provider for the family lifestyle, which we know these days is more and more and more and more and more the woman. Women, you could get hit over the head too. This is a public service announcement. If you are a woman out here doing the damn thing and you choose to marry and fall in love and let me slow down. Marry and fall in love, two different things.
Very
can we
two,
just take a beat
very
around that?
Different thing.
But it's true, right? Like we can be deeply in love and we can be deeply committed to each other, and it doesn't necessarily mean it is the conditions for marriage.
Absolutely.
Now, not to be not romantic, because, you know, I am a hopeless romantic, but we have to be pragmatic, Dustin Ross, in this day and age when we start talking about the consequences, both positive and negative, of marriage.
Yes, I agree.
Right?
This is a mess anyway, though, Ebony. Like this whole Kelly Clarkson situation, there was a lawsuit. Her father-in-law, so her husband's father's management company, was suing her. She countersued them. This is a mess. And what happened was Kelly Clarkson, again, fucked around and found out. She got with a smart, savvy, white music manager who knew that she was a cash cow. And was, I believe, preparing for this moment from day one. Because you just like the way that you said that this surprised you as, you know, as an attorney, I understand that this is completely intentional on his behalf. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to take her for everything that she's got. And I'm going to watch it and enjoy, because you damn right, Ebony, it is always the other way around.
It is.
You know, we just up one in this case. You get money. I ain't mad at it.
No, I'm not mad at the man. I can't be. Because, like you said, Kelly Clarkson been famous a long time. Let's start with that.
Yep.
Okay. Ever since what's that damn song she sang on the Idol?
Damn, what's a moment like this?
A moment like this.
Wait a lifetime. Listen. Yes.
A moment like this. Okay, that's listen, right. Kelly. Okay. You've been famous a long ass time. You've been rich a long time, and you're rich as shit right now. Between the voice check and the Kelly Clarkson daytime syndicated show check. I want to say Kelly had a residency in Vegas not too long ago. Kelly is rich, okay? And you've known this for a long time, as has your team. So the fact that, like you said, you married this man who didn't bring a lot of assets to the table, but brought a lot of knowledge and education and strategy, okay? Mm-hmm. You're right. It shouldn't be that surprising that he wasn't even wanting just $200,000. This man was asking for $436,000 a month. This man was asking for $500,000 a month. Do y'all hear me? Dustin laughing. He really was going hard in the paint. Man. Okay. And that is what happens when you marry somebody where the gap of income is that significant. So while some people, not most people, but some people give me shit, right? Because I am very unequivocally not interested in marrying someone who doesn't bring at least equitable assets to the marriage. And if anyone is confused as to why, because of shit just like this here. Yeah. Because why would I voluntarily elect Dustin Ross? Why would anybody voluntarily elect to be joint and severably liable fiscally, become legal fiduciaries to one another, saying your debt is mine and my assets are yours, to someone who is not risking the same level of buy-in as you are?
Don't even make sense.
To me, that makes no sense. It has nothing to do with how much we love each other. We can be in love all day.
And I don't give a damn what nobody thinks about it either.
And I'm way too old, and I've had to rehab my credit, FICO, savings too many fucking times to give a damn what anybody thinks about it. Yeah. Not on my watch, not on any day of the week, will I be marrying, going into legal partnership. And if you don't understand that's what marriage is, you're not fucking getting it. You need to go back and listen to the whole fucking catalog of Holding Court from the first episode.
That's right. That's right.
Marriage is not just about being in love. It's not about the white dress. It's not about the ring, the tuxedo, and the motherfucking Instagram pictures. No. It is about being in legal, fiscal partnership for life. And if either of you wants to breach said partnership at any point prior to death, know there will be a fiscal consequence. Period.
You might as well just die.
Or do something else. Die or...
Or something, okay?
Or something.
Or something. That's what we'll say.
That's what we're going to say. We don't hold them for. But that's what time it is. So, you know, shout out to Kelly. And, you know, this situation is fucked up. Yeah, she is also doing what Dre and Nicole elected to do early on, which is basically bifurcate their divorce, saying, let's go ahead and be legally divorced. So basically, you can fuck, I can fuck without any consequence. Okay. You can move on, I can move on romantically. But we will hold the asset division until a later date to where we can better negotiate what this shit looks like.
Right.
Keep in mind, in addition to this $200,000 a month that she's paying until this shit is final, she's also on the hook for his legal cost.
Kelly, man,
that's about $1.25 million.
She gonna have towards to nip his this lawyer in the bud. Fees. Nip this in the bud and get it over with and be done with him. Man. Separate yourself from this.
Listen, Kelly needs a thorough lesson in the Dustin Ross playbook. Keep it playa.
Keep it playa. Cut that check, Big Mama. You got the money. Come on, Big Mama. Let's go. That's right. Big Kelly, baby. And I'm talking about her pockets.
Pockets. Okay? Man, listen, all around. It's an all around situation. But shout out to you, Kelly, because that's what you got it, sis. And I ain't mad at it. Yeah. And he about to get some, and I can't be mad at him either.
That's it.
Listen, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to pay some bills. Whew, I'm trying to get it like Kelly got it, but I'm definitely not trying to give it away. No. Not trying to do that.
Hell no.
Hail to the no no.
Okay.
You might have to leave in a different way, bro.
Okay. that song, I think you better leave. Okay. Get the hell on, for real.
Get the hell on. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more Holding Court after this. All right, y'all. Welcome back to Holding Court. I don't really love talking about this next person on our docket, but the circumstances here made me very intrigued, and I wanted to share the important news of this recent headline. Kim Kardashian served with a cease and desist after trying to trademark her new beauty brand. Guess what? With an identical name to an existing Black-owned business. Shock beyond shock.
Right.
Beyond shock. The queen of culture voyeurism, the queen of appropriating everything from our people, has struck again, essentially. Mm-hmm. This time, Kim was trying to, and is actively trying to trademark this brand name. It's Skin Plus, Skin spelled capital S-K-K-N plus. Okay. Now, Kim's trademark doesn't have the plus, but it's got everything else identical. The same capital S-K-K-N. I don't know about you, Dustin, but I was today years old when I saw that spelling of skin. So that's not common.
Yes.
Very unique. And apparently a Black woman by the name of Sydney Lunsford. This sister's name is Sydney Lunsford. She has had Beauty Concepts LLC. That's her, you know, governing business. And they have rocked with, created, marketed, advertised, and been successful with Skin Plus since July of 2017. So that's a minute, right? That's a nice long time.
It's established. Mm-hmm.
It's established. Her legal team sent out a cease and desist to Kim. And in the cease and desist, Dustin, they say this. Over the course of 4 years, Beauty Concepts has built a successful woman and Black woman-owned small business and brand, established a strong social media presence, and served thousands of customers from its Brooklyn location. Okay, this is important because I want to break down trademark versus copyright in a second because a lot of people are confused about the difference. But here's the bottom line here.
Okay.
This woman, Sydney, and her company, Skin Plus, has existed since 2017. What do they do? They do this. They sell skincare products, beauty products, lifestyle products, retail store services, all of those things under the moniker of Skin. Why Kim and her actions are problematic, Dustin, is because it's not just the same name, it's the same services. And this is what Sydney's lawyer put in the cease and desist letter. It's problematic because Kim is attempting to trademark Skin and also Skin by Kim, as if that makes a difference. We'll get to that in a second, for those same services, skincare products, beauty products, lifestyle, da, 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 da. Letter also goes on to say this, this is the cease and desist, nearly identical in appearance, and that Kim's addition of, quote, by Kim does very little to differentiate the two companies. So, of course, that would probably cause confusion in the marketplace. And that's the whole point of a trademark. Okay, so let's back it all the way up.
Okay.
You know, everybody wants to be an armchair lawyer these days, and everybody's talking about trademarks and LLCs and filings and copyrights. Trademarks are this. They are a protection of intellectual property. Specifically as it relates, Dustin, to words, phrases, and images, logos, things of this nature, what you visually see. Mm-hmm. That is a trademark. So in this case, the name Skin, spelled that particular way, is what's being trademarked. Because for instance, what you could never trademark is Skin spelled the traditional way, right. S-K-I-N. Why? It's too general. There's not a uniqueness to it. And thus nobody could have ownership over it. It's very simple. We covered this on a holding court early on in our tenure. Mm-hmm. Remember when LeBron was trying to trademark Taco Tuesday?
Yes, yes.
A mess.
I remember that conversation. Yes.
Okay. So go back to the archives and listen to that and you'll understand some generalized shit cannot be trademarked. Okay,
right.
It just can't happen. It has to have a uniqueness to it, whether in its concept or its visual appeal. So in this case, when you spell Skin, S-K-K-N, that's unique. Okay, and then you attach it to this particular vertical of beauty, lifestyle, skincare, yada, 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 yada. So this woman has already established that. So Kim now going to try to trademark it for her own use is an undermining of a pre-existing business. Just so happened in this case, it is a Black-owned small business.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're not here for that. We already know this.
Right.
And I feel very, very, very bad for this young woman. But what I wish she had done was trademarked it herself early on. That is the cautionary lesson in this story. Is had the good sister trademarked this up front, she might not be having this problem right now. See what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you already knew. So this is the lesson, jurors. If you've got something dope, something unique, something that you feel is special in terms of the way it's spelled, the way it looks, or just the phrasing itself, go ahead and trademark it. It's not an overly expensive process. It's much more expensive to try to get something get copyright protection around something. And I want to tell you what that is and how it's different. To get something copyright protection, that is the content. For instance, if you are a songwriter or a writer of any kind, poem, book, the meat and potatoes of your words, your verbiage, the lyrics of the song, the words of the poem, the words of the book, manuscript, those are materials to have a copyright around, to have legal ownership of the content. So I own Pretty Powerful's copyright, okay? I own, you know, anything like that. You want to get that if you're a creative and you out here writing original content, you want to make sure that you own the copyright to that.
Yes.
That is different than a trademark. Okay. You don't trademark lyrics to a song. You don't trademark words in a poem or a book or anything like that. You copyright those pieces of content, but you trademark, for instance, maybe the cover art.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
You trademark concepts,
original concepts of words or phrasing or the look.
Yeah.
Hope y'all got that. So if the good sister here had already trademarked skin, as she spells it, SKKN+, she would have protection already established. Thus, she wouldn't be sending a cease and desist. What she would be sending is a notice of violation of an existing trademark, which has a lot more legal bite to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, this reminds me oddly of a story from Roni. The cheater brand story. Remember that when Bethany
Tipsy
accused
girl.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Same thing here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kim, you have access to so many resources and so many creatives, you know, that you could actually hire and retain to come up with some original shit for you.
Mm-hmm.
This is not your first time being in this kind of hot seat. So, just get it.
Show
together.
Ain't.
And just, Chris, I'm surprised at you for letting it get this damn far.
Oh, Chris Jenner?
Yeah, Chris Jenner. She needs to do better business than this.
Right.
You know, fix it. I don't know.
Yeah, fix it, Jesus. It's not a good look because Kim is, you know, not even starting. I agree with you, Dustin. She has an established reputation for this kind of bullshit.
Her whole damn family. Remember when Kylie's been embroiled in some shit with designers and not crediting them and taking concepts? Khloé stole them concepts allegedly for the Good American line from that black designer, and they were side by side pictures of the items and
couldn't
the looks,
tell them apart.
The
couldn't
marketing, tell them apart. The posing of the models, everything. She stole the whole entire concept. So
totally
this ain't nothing
it.
New.
No,
you
know. And listen, Kim, what was it? Just a couple years ago, 2019, I remember this. Kim was going to put out shapewear and called it shit kimono.
Kimonos,
bitch,
ebony,
Asian
fucking
wear,
kimonos.
Asian wear.
They gotta
stop,
do better.
Kim. Do
she
better.
Do better.
And then you change it to Skims, and the shit is popping. So
right. Go
on and let this young black successful sister live and breathe with the Skin Plus brand. She is well established. Leave that alone and go on. You could just call the shit Kim Kardashian. Shit,
right.
It don't matter. There's a million things you could call it.
Face by Kim. Kardashian.
Face by Kim.
You know what
Beat
saying?
By
Something
Kim.
Like
whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit. Poreless by Kim. Filtration by Kim. Call the shit whatever you want to. But I hope she leaves this young woman alone. Now, I will say this. Legally, the young woman doesn't have, I think her name was Cindy. Let me go back up here. Yes. Yes. Sydney doesn't have a huge protection here. It's going to really depend on what a judge wants to do here. Because without that pre-existing trademark, which she could have and should have done, this will be a decision for a judge to decide, or you know, a legal entity to decide if Kim is in fact infringing on what should be protected intellectual property.
Well,
you don't want to leave that to chance if you can.
And she's a damn fool if she moves forward with trying to take this name, because after this news has come out,
right,
no one's going to support that brand when they know that this is a direct strike against a small business, let alone
a black woman,
black woman owned business in today's climate. Come on, E. So she needs to do what we always say: keep it player, figure the shit out. You know what I'm saying?
Come up with a new name. You've done it before. It'll be fine.
And don't invest in that black woman's company too.
That's what you should do.
Yep. That's what you need to do.
Yep,
fix all
this.
I totally
agree. Yep. Do a little collaboration. Put some money in that woman's pocket and keep it cute.
That's it.
I totally agree. Kim's lawyer is on record, Dustin, though, for saying this. He says, "We certainly appreciate and support small businesses." Our hat is off to Ms. Lunsford. But the question at hand is one of trademark law, and we've not done anything deserving of legal action by her. Extremely interesting comment. Somebody taught me a long time ago, when somebody says something and then they follow it, but go ahead and erase everything before the but.
Everything before the but is worthless.
Yeah. Is worthless. So all of that fake flowers, Mr. Michael Rhodes, the lawyer, you could save that and just go ahead and say what you really want to say, which is Miss Sydney didn't trademark Skins, so therefore it's fair game. Because that's what he's saying.
We're going to talk to her about the shit. We're going to try to figure it out. But as of right now, we don't have to. That's what he was saying.
That is what he's saying. Yeah. And I got to say, he's not right.
Yeah.
But he's not wrong.
He's not wrong either. Yeah.
So let that be a lesson to everybody. I'm clearly for Miss Sydney Lunsford, and I want this sister to win and prevail. But don't leave yourself open to this shit.
No.
If you know you got something hot or might get hot, go in and consult business lawyers. It's a lot of forms nowadays, y'all. You can do half this shit yourself. Okay. Go on and look up how to go ahead and apply for that trademark and keep it cute and keep it playing.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you don't want Kim Kardashian coming for your bag one day.
You sure don't.
And to be fair, it's not just Kim who has done this or Kardashians. Do we remember when Miss Beyonce was coming for, was it Blue Ivy?
I don't remember that, Ebony.
Oh, that's convenient, Dustin.
You don't remember it either. I got us both. I'm covering us both.
You shit.
Okay, I'm throwing my body over yours right now, Ebony.
fuck that shit.
I definitely do remember that story, though. Definitely remember that story.
Yeah. There's no, personal shade against Beyonce, but it's the same thing. Yeah. Where
and
there's
what about
a
Lady
giant
A, right?
Lady Antebellum.
Singer. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So let these people live. But that said, Lady A and the first Blue Ivy and Miss Skins Plus, go on and do right. Take care of your business so that you're not prey to these giant global conglomerate brands taking up your shit.
That's right. Okay? Lock your shit up. You don't want it stolen, basically. Turn your deadbolt, okay? That's what you need to do.
All of that. Because if people be out here with their doors open and shit, it's
okay,
crazy.
Put that stick in the bottom of the patio door at night.
Not the my grandma used to put a broom. You remember this?
Yeah,
a whole
right
broom.
Down there in the bottom.
Listen, don't play with us. Wow, we are doing the most today. Y'all, keep it tight. We're going to take a quick commercial break and come back with the fact that, speaking of homes, y'all, this is a serious one. Millions of Americans are facing eviction right now because fucking Congress has failed to do their job. We're going to unpack it all when we come back with more Holding Court. All right, y'all, welcome back to Holding Court. We want to wrap up with a real important story, y'all. This one is affecting millions. It might be affecting some of you right now personally. The reality is the federal rent moratoriums that were preventing millions of Americans of not being evicted during this entire COVID debacle, they've expired, period. Ain't no other way to say it. They expired midnight on Saturday, and until Congress and the federal government figures out what's next, millions of people, Dustin Ross, could be evicted and find themselves homeless at any given point.
This is bad.
And the sad part is it didn't have to fucking be this way.
Yeah.
It didn't have to be this way. What has happened is, as usual, the government, federal government in this case, waited too damn late to do what they knew they needed to do. No one is surprised by the fact that this moratorium that prevented the eviction of renters from having to pay rent during this pandemic, because everybody knows everybody's situation is fucked up for the most part.
Like, you know,
this is obvious. So there were these federal protections to keep people from not being evicted. Now, I want to keep in mind, I care about landlords here too. We here at Holden Court are for that. But it didn't say that the landlords weren't going to get their money, Dustin. Okay, what the renters were accruing back rent. That rent will be due one day. It's simply saying, because of the unprecedented nature of this pandemic, we're not going to kick people out on the streets. We'll get our money one day, probably with the large help of the federal government. Okay. But in the meantime, we're not going to kick people out on the streets and have them and their children and their families fucking homeless. That's it. That was the nature of the legislation. Now, they always knew the shit was going to expire at the end of July, and they let it lapse. And then they want to run, you know, literally on Friday, the day before. You talk about some procrastinating motherfuckers. You know, this reminds me of myself in the eighth grade. I knew the book report was due the whole time, the whole semester. But I want to wait until the night before, and now I'm sleepy and tired and the quality is fucked up. Come on now. The difference is we were children then. These are grown fucking adults being paid hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to do their job and represent the people of this country. Dustin, they've yet again fallen asleep at the fucking wheel.
This is
now
shameful.
On Friday, House Democrats are trying to run through some legislation and ram it down people's throat. It didn't pass. It didn't pass. So thank God some state governments, like here in New York, some places in Cali, some places in New Jersey, they have their own temporary eviction bans that will protect renters from homelessness for a bit longer. But these are all short-term goals. I mean, short-term solutions.
This is a shame. This is a damn shame. They should all be ashamed of themselves. You are literally not doing what you're in that position to do, which is protect the American people and help the American people. How can you not, just on a human level, right? Fuck all the politics. Just on a human level, right? People are on the verge of getting put out, okay? Because of something that was far beyond their control. Something that they didn't have anything to do with, okay? What the fuck? Like, how can you just be okay as a person, especially as a person who has been appointed to lead?
Yeah.
How can you rationalize that with your conscience? How can you, like your conscience?
No,
how
listen.
How can you sleep?
Well, let's talk about that, because there a lot of them sleeping like a damn baby, and they're on vacation, because that's the issue. The reason why the House Democrats had to run and try to get the shit done on Friday before the expiration Saturday night is because then they were what do you call it? Let out for recess. You know, they're not at work today. We're working. We're recording content. We're reporting on this tragedy, but they're not even at work today. Them motherfuckers on vacation. Except for a handful. Democratic Representative Cori Bush. I really, really appreciate and respect this sister. I interviewed her after she won her party nomination for her congressional seat in Revolt Black News, and I knew she was going to do something good for her people, and that's what she's doing. Mm-hmm. She is not on fucking vacation. Cori Bush slept on the steps of the U.S. Capitol in protest Friday night to raise awareness of the fact that there's going to be millions of Americans that will soon be in that position of not being able to shower, not being able to change. She said this: how are we on vacation when we have millions of people who could start to be evicted tonight? I am dirty, sticky, sweaty. I still have on what I had on last night. This is how people will have to live if we don't do something. 7 million, 6 million, 11 million, however many it is, they deserve human dignity, just like what you said, Dustin, and deserve for people that represent them to show up, do the work, and to make sure basic needs are met today. And of course, Cori is speaking from personal experience, because she's vulnerable enough and responsible enough to let people know that she's been in that position before, Dustin, where she had to sleep in a car and raising her kids and all that shit while not having a home to live in.
Yep. Wow.
And, you know, I want to break this down, too, because one of the things, and this is why, you know, I can't stand big government. And this is a place where I fucking never have trusted a government that has always betrayed our people in particular. And I will not believe in a government that has given me no evidence as to why I should believe in it. But one thing I know about government, they like to, in the worst way, pass the peas. Mm-hmm. They love to pass the buck. They love to pass the responsibility of who should have avoided this a devastating outcome that's going to affect millions of Americans and their families. So is it the Biden administration Biden's ass coming out literally 2 days before the shit expired, talking about, oh yeah, Congress should do something. Really, President Biden? Get the fuck out of here. Right. That would have been cool to put a bug in their ear, oh, I don't know, a month, 2-3 months before the shit expired, because you knew it was coming. Okay, so that's his cop-out answer. You have the Supreme Court. Now, to their credit, even with this conservative-ass court, 5-4, when the last extension was passed, Dustin, they said, basically, this will be the last extension. Yep. We are passing it because we recognize the exceptional nature of this pandemic, but we are putting it on Congress. They said this specifically, Dustin. We specifically will require congressional authority for any further extension. Now, the court just said the shit. So I'm not even going to be mad at the court, because they said what time it was and what they were going to do and what they weren't going to do. So now, to me, this is squarely in the hands, any bloodshed that this will come will be on the hands of the United States Congress.
I agree 100%. It's literally on them.
Yep. And that's what they're supposed to do. Let's go back to Schoolhouse Rock. The purse strings of America are not controlled by the president.
No.
The purse strings of America are not controlled by the judiciary branch. That's the, they're controlled by the motherfucking legislative branch.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do your fucking job.
And if you didn't know, now you know.
Now you do know. Shit. No, I'm mad about that, because that's fuck. And I'm mad at the Democrats, because we already know what time it is with the Republicans. So you already know you weren't going to get no help over there. What's the point of having a fucking majority if you're not going to act like you have the majority?
Seriously. I there couldn't have been a worse issue for them to show such a lack of competency on, right? Mm. There couldn't have been a more severe consequence to their actions or inaction in this case.
Inaction. There could not totally have been inaction.
A more severe consequence. And I just, does everything always have to be as bad as it can be? God damn. Like, can y'all just fucking do it right one time?
Can you get in front of the fucking crisis one time? Just one time. And then make it so bad, Dustin. This is dumb as hell and could have been avoided by this too. Y'all remember not too long ago when Biden and Kamala's ass and everybody and their mama was out here talking about how we taxpayers need to give the administration trillions. Listen to what I said, y'all. I didn't say millions.
I didn't say billions.
I said motherfucking trillions of American taxpayer dollars to pay for the Biden American Rescue Plan. Remember that shit?
We gave it to him.
They sitting on trillions of dollars right now that were supposed to be distributed for just this kind of situation, for putting money in landlords' pockets to make sure that their small businesses don't run out of steam, making sure that renters had the protections they needed. So whether it was giving them money to pay their rent, providing landlords with money to comp, or credit rent, so that it would avoid millions of Americans being evicted right now. Where the money at, Dustin?
Where is the damn money? And I'm going to tell you something else. This puts another load on our lap, too, because now all the people who didn't want to vote in the first place but went ahead and voted for Joe Biden are going to enter the chat and say, this is what the fuck we were talking about. Then we have to defend them so that they can do it again this fall so we don't end up in another fucking shithole.
Right. So it doesn't get worse. And that's where I get. When people show up with frustration around American politics, some level of apathy, now I can't ride with you because the consequence of that apathy is too fucking high.
But I understand.
That's right. I understand. Because we're constantly negotiating between bad and worse.
Yeah. Constantly, Ebony. Constantly. So this really pisses me off. But God bless these families that are affected. And I really hope that nobody ends up on the fucking street because these motherfuckers went on vacation.
Because y'all on vacation, you punk asses. But somebody else made a good point. And, you know, this is where I really am so skeptical and distrusting of government. But who I am trusting of are the people and community. Mm. So Potter House and motherfucking, what's Joel Osteen shit called? Whatever that shit called.
Oh, yeah. Whatever. You can't come in here when shit gets tough. That's what his church is called.
And that's fucked up because that's where the community should show up and be in the gap.
Yeah.
When government fails the people, where is the community? And I know they're what's that shit called? Collection plates full to the brim every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
They better. Oh, and what's the saying? The church doors are now open. That's right. The fucking church doors.
That's right. And protect these people, these families, because this is fucked up.
Yeah. We got to be here for one another, y'all, because that's really all we got. That's what this moment reaffirms for me, Dustin.
Yeah.
I've always known it. You've always known it. I always reserve the optimism for maybe they'll prove me wrong one day. God, I hope so. But that day is not come. So we have to stand in the gap.
And may this be a sign to anyone who is affected by this negatively, right? If you end up getting put out, but you ever had aspirations to run for a congressional seat or some shit like that, make this light your flame.
Now is the time.
You know what I'm saying? Now's the time.
And that's why Cori Bush is looking different in this space.
Yeah.
And that's why I knew she would be a different kind of legislator.
Yeah.
Because people that come from some level of personal understanding,
yeah,
whether it was themselves or they've seen it up front, they do tend to show up differently.
Yeah.
So much love and support to Ms. Cori Bush.
Absolutely.
And several others, but not enough legislators that are trying to right this wrong before it's too late. All right, y'all. Whew, do your fucking job.
Right.
All right, y'all. Listen, thanks for listening to Holding Court this week. We're going to start next week doing some Auntie E supplemental content because we know y'all are here for it. Y'all giving great questions. So we're going to start that next week. In the meantime, though, rate the episode. Go back, listen to old episodes, refresh your memory. As you see, one thing I love about our show, Dustin, is we connect a lot of dots throughout the seasonal content.
Yeah, we
do.
You
know what I mean?
Yeah, just like how we reference those older episodes today. And I love that. I love that thread that lives in our content.
It lives in the content, y'all. We'll continue to build on it. Because I know it's probably some dumbass woman going to marry some dumbass, broke-ass man and going to end up paying him a bag. And then we'll reference today's episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's ketchup mustard. That's what y'all got to do.
But it won't be me.
Hello. Listen, shit. Hello.
Because we're not even going on a date with that situation. But anyways, we also not going on no dates if you fucking homophobic. So keep that in your pocket. Give us a review, y'all, back to Holding Court. Let your mama know, your friends know, everybody know what Dustin and I are doing each and every week on this show. We so appreciate and love y'all. Yes. Holding Court comes to you from Uppity Productions. It's in association with Dossie Media. Mm-hmm. As always, we're presented by the Black Effect Network. Shout out to Black Effect and Charlamagne Tha God for iHeartRadio.
Yes.
Audio is provided by, One of One Productions. Y'all check them out. One of One Productions for all of your audio needs. They are amazing.
The best.
Yeah, y'all come back next week. We'll be back in court with a brand new episode. And in the meantime, stay safe. Wear your mask. This Delta variant is not fucking playing, y'all.
Okay.
Keep the faith. I know a lot of y'all getting ready for HBCU homecoming. Yeah, watch, please, y'all. My prayers are with you. Be careful out there, okay?
Please.
Y'all, listen, be careful out there if you're planning on going to some of these music festivals at HBCU homecoming. I know you miss your peeps, but it's not worth dying for real. So please, mask up. And what else do you want the people to do, Dustin?
Read the terms and especially the conditions. That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Love y'all.